This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن تصبك حسنة تسخر وإن تصبك مصيبة يقول وقد أخذنا أمرنا من قبل وتولوا وهم يفرحون قل لن يصيبنا إلا ما كتب الله لنا هو مولانا وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون. One of the most important internal acts of worship that every Muslim needs to master is the concept of tawakkul, of trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a concept that many people misunderstand and many of us are unaware of how to do it. But it's also a concept that is necessary to help us through difficult times. Because life is a test and everyone's going to face difficult times in their lives. And everyone's going to have to deal with difficult scenarios in their life that they cannot understand. And tawakkul is one of those things that gets you through the difficulties. And the lives of the early Muslims was full of great examples of pure tawakkul. We see this when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was exiled from Makkah. Think about it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was native to Makkah. He was a Makkan in terms of his ancestry, his tribe, everything. He belonged to the people of Makkah. But still, the people turned against him because of his message and they kicked him out and they attempted to assassinate him. And he said that if it wasn't for the fact that my people had turned me out, I would never have left this land. It's the most beloved land to me. You compare that to today, right? Today, what's happening to the people of Gaza? It's very similar. They are being turned out of their land that they are native to, a land that they are biologically the people of. And it's a very similar situation. Yet we see when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba were forced to leave their land, they did so with firm tawakkul. That Allah knows what's best for us. Allah has a plan. And today is this concept of tawakkul that I want us to have a refresher on and a reminder about, because this is what gets us through these difficult times. Understand that in this world, things will happen that we don't like. Things will happen that are tragedies, that are traumatic. But as Muslims, our approach to these things is to understand that if something is outside of our control and it happens and it is something that we don't like, we understand it is part of the broader will of Allah. It is part of the bigger plan of Allah. And it may be that we dislike something, but in the long run, it is part of Allah's plan. And we see this with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that had his people not turned against him, he would not have left Makkah. But it was part of the plan of Allah that he had to leave Makkah and go to Yathrib, for Yathrib to become Madinah to Nabi, to become the beloved city, for Madinah to become the center of Islam, for Islam to grow from there and spread throughout the world. This negative event, what it seems like from a worldly perspective, of the Muslims being kicked out of their homeland, turned out to be one of the most important events, if not the most important event in our history. And why do I say the most important event? Because we literally start our calendars with this event, with the Hijrah. And I want us to look at anything that happens in the world today, globally or locally, that seems negative. We must look at it from this broader perspective of Allah knows best. And there's a beautiful verse in the Quran, in Surah Tawbah, related to this concept. And by the way, Surah Tawbah, you know, we tend to talk about it as the Jihad Surah, right? But it's also the Tawakkul Surah. It's also the Tawakkul Surah, because there's many, many verses in Surah Tawbah calling people to put their trust in Allah. Many sections in the Surah that call people to put their trust in Allah. And one beautiful section towards the middle of the surah, verse number 51. This surah was revealed within the context that many of the hypocrites of Medina, they did not want to go for the expedition of Tabuk. Right? Many of the verses in the surah are linked to the expedition of Tabuk. So what was the expedition of Tabuk? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the Muslims had gained power, after they had established their presence in Arabia, he formulated an army to march towards the land of Tabuk to fight the Christians, specifically the Romans and their allies. Now, no battle actually took place. It was a show of power, right? To show that the Muslims are now strong enough to face the superpowers. But no actual battle took place. The actual test here was the tawakkul of the people. Are you willing to march out into the desert to face a superpower for the sake of Allah? This was the actual test. So most of the verses related to Tabuk are not about battles, but they're actually about tawakkul. Do you trust Allah's plan? That's what the actual test is. So some of the people of Makkah started to make excuses. Of Medina, they started to make excuses. They started to say, you know, so one of the excuses mentioned specifically in this verse, one of the people of Medina said that he finds Roman women very attractive. So going for jihad against them is going to be a fitna to him. Right? Very silly excuse. And so Allah mentions this directly. He says, from them are those who say that I don't want to be tested. I don't want to deal with any fitna. Allah says, you've already failed the test. By not wanting to join the Prophet's army, you've already failed the test. You're thinking about secondary test, this is the bigger test. And then, he mentions the other excuse they were making. The other excuse they were making is whenever the Muslims were victorious, they'd want to, you know, join in the celebrations. Like, yeah, we're part of you, we're also victorious. And whenever the Muslims lost, they would say, like, is this really the true religion? Like, you know, bad things are happening to them. You know, if this is a real Prophet, why are bad things happening? And it shows the misunderstanding that some people have about religion, right? And by the way, many people today still have this misunderstanding. They have this misunderstanding that if Islam is true, then Muslims should always win. This is a misunderstanding. If Islam is true, then Muslims should always win is a misunderstanding. We go back to the story of Heraclius. When he asked Abu Sufyan all those questions about the Prophet, one of those questions, did you fight him in battles? Yes. Who won? Sometimes he won, sometimes we won. What did Heraclius say? That's the case of the prophets. Sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. Some prophets had no followers. Some prophets, their civilizations were destroyed by Allah because nobody followed them. Right? Truth does not guarantee worldly victory. And so Allah addresses this. And He says, "Qul, tell them. Tell the people who think that nothing bad should happen to you if you're a believer, that you should always win if you're a believer. Tell them, لَيْ يُسِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Nothing bad will happen except what Allah has written. Except what Allah has written. Meaning, we march out with tawakkul. We face our trials in life with tawakkul. We deal with this world with tawakkul. Understanding full well that if anything bad happens to us, it is Allah's qadr. It is Allah's qadr. Allah has written it for us. Allah has already written when all of us will pass away. Allah has already written if something bad is going to happen. Right? If someone is meant to get a sickness, it's going to happen. It's Qadarullah. If someone is meant to pass away at a young age, it's going to happen. It is Qadarullah. Nothing bad happens except what Allah has written for us. Huwa Mawlana. Huwa Mawlana. He is our Mawla. What does this mean? Allah is Mawlana. He is our Mawla. It means that Allah is our owner. He is our protector. He is our Wali. He is the one who guards us, who protects us. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ And it is upon Allah that the believers put their tawakkul. It is in Allah that the believers place their tawakkul. So this verse was revealed because there were a group of people in Medina who were making this excuse that we can't march out into the desert, some people might die, some people might miss out on their crops, this might happen, that might happen, we might lose. And the reply was, nothing's going to happen except what Allah wills. Put your tawakkul in Allah and do what Allah has commanded you to do. And I want us to reflect today on this concept of tawakkul and how it works. One more verse from Surah At-Tawbah that's very important about tawakkul is the closing verse of Surah At-Tawbah. Right? The closing verse of Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends the surah by saying, وَإِن تَوَلُّوا If they turn away, فَقُلْ Then say, حَسْبِي اللَّهُ لَا إِلَىٰ إِلَّهُ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ Say, حَسْبِي اللَّهُ Allah is enough for me. La ilaha illahu. There is no God besides Him. Alayhi tawakkaltu. I place my tawakkul in Him. I trust Him. Wa huwa Rabbul Arshil Azim. He is the Lord of the Mighty Throne. This powerful verse, this powerful dua. There is a hadith that states that it is sunnah to recite this dua every morning and evening 7 times. Every morning and evening. Memorize this verse, right? حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. Memorize this verse. The hadith says you should say this every morning and evening 7 times for protection. This is one of the main protection du'as in that are mentioned in the hadith. It is the closing verse of Surah At-Tawbah. But again, look, Surah At-Tawbah ends with what? Alayhi tawakkaltu. I put my tawakkul in Allah. So what is tawakkul? Tawakkul is a mindset. It's a way of looking at the world. It's a way of thinking about things. It's not something you physically do. And it shouldn't stop you from physically doing whatever you can do. Right? That's another misunderstanding of tawakkul. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the greatest role model of tawakkul. But he always took the actions. Whether it was the hijrah, whether it was the battles, whether it was the da'wah, whether it was teaching, he always took his actions. But he put his tawakkul in Allah. Tawakkul means that you believe in the broader plan of Allah. You understand that nothing happens except what Allah wills. You understand that even if things don't go your way, there is some khair in that, there's some benefit in that. You understand even if the Muslims lose, that is part of the will of Allah, and there may be some benefit in that in the long run that we don't understand. And there are many stories in the Quran that drive home this point that we should have tawakkul. The most famous of these stories is the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam, look at his journey, right? He is thrown in a well. He is sold into slavery. He is slandered and thrown into prison. But throughout all of this, he remains committed to Allah. He keeps his tawakkul in Allah. He understands all of this is part of the broader plan of Allah. And at the end, he emerges victorious as the leader of Egypt. But all of these things had to happen for him to get there. We see tawakkul in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he is thrown into the fire and he simply puts his trust in Allah and Allah makes the fire cool for him. That right till that last moment, a moment where other people would despair, a moment where the average person would fall apart, he's simply trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That tawakkul is there in every prophet's lives. We see it in the story of each and every prophet. When Musa alayhi salam goes to the court of Pharaoh to convey the message to him, he walks in with tawakkul. Because he knows very well that Pharaoh could immediately have him executed. Not just for the message, but for the reason that he ran away, right? That he had killed a man by mistake, and he was wanted for murder, right? And Pharaoh does bring it up, but he doesn't take action against him. It takes tawakkul to stand up and to say this, knowing that something could happen to you, knowing that you could be killed. This is tawakkul. We see tawakkul throughout the lives of the Sahaba. We see this in the story, again in Surah Tawbah, the story is mentioned as an example of tawakkul. The story of during the hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr, they are in the cave. And the people are coming nearby, and if they spot them, it's over. And at that moment, they say, Allah is with us. Don't worry, Allah is with us. Again, this is mentioned in the same surah. You see why it says the surah of tawakkul. So tawakkul is a mindset. It's a mindset we need to have in every aspect of our life. When you start a business, you start a business with tawakkul. I'm going to do my best effort, I'm going to work my hardest, I'm going to do everything in my power to make the business profitable, but at the end of the day, whatever I earn or don't earn is the qadr of Allah. At the end of each day, I will accept what I have earned for that day, I will be satisfied with what my qadr is for that day, and I understand that this is part of the broader plan of Allah. So it may be that you start a business and you work your hardest, but the business doesn't work out, and it goes bankrupt. You keep your tawakkul in Allah, understand that wasn't meant for you. Maybe there's something better for you, right? Maybe you're working a job and you worked really, really hard at that job and you get fired. Tawakkul in this situation is to understand that Allah knows what's best for me. Perhaps there's something better for me out there than this job. And Allah is directing me towards that. And if I didn't get fired, I wouldn't even think about that. So tawakkul is a mindset. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of looking at the world. And it means looking at the world from the perspective that Allah is in control. And Allah being in control doesn't mean we're always going to win. Allah being in control means that whatever happens, whether it's for us or against us in terms of dunya, in the long run, it is part of the broader plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how we need to approach not just the international events that are happening, but even the trials in our own life. It may be that someone you love passes away. Put your tawakkul in Allah. It may be that you lose a job. Put your tawakkul in Allah. It may be that your business is not doing well. Put your tawakkul in Allah. Tawakkul doesn't mean you stop your efforts. But it simply means you trust the broader plan of Allah and you keep trying and you keep working to earn Allah's help. And if you feel that something is not working out at all, perhaps Allah is pushing you in a different direction for something that may be better for you. The benefit of tawakkul is it keeps you sane. It keeps you sane. It keeps you optimistic. It prevents you from despairing and becoming anxious and losing hope in this world. Because can you imagine if someone out there doesn't believe in Allah? They don't believe in Allah. They don't believe in tawakkul. They don't believe in qadr. How do they process grief? How do they process all of the bad things happening in the world? If you don't have this connection with Allah, you can literally go mad and suicidal from the bad things that happen in this world. Tawakkul keeps you grounded. It keeps you going through the most difficult of situations. You know, like with the Sahaba, whenever someone they love passed away, they put their tawakkul in Allah and accepted this is the qadr of Allah. Nothing bad will happen except what Allah willed. Allah willed for this person to pass away. And we see this today also. If you want to understand tawakkul today, if you want to see a model of tawakkul today, look at the people of Gaza. That is our model today of tawakkul. They fully live by this concept that nothing will happen to us except what Allah has willed. Nothing will happen to us except what Allah has willed. And they put the tawakkul in Allah. And when someone passes away, they handle it with that tawakkul, with that firm iman, that Allah knows what is best for us. And they don't lose hope in the broader goal. They don't lose hope in their broader mission. They don't lose hope that one day victory from Allah will come. And perhaps this is where Allah chose them to be in that land. So they are the models for the rest of the world of real iman and real tawakkul and real acceptance of qadr while still making your efforts to do what is necessary. We ask Allah to grant us and everyone else amongst the ummah through tawakkul and to help us to understand things and to accept things and to have patience and to have strength. And we ask Allah to grant victory to the people of Palestine. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. How do you increase your tawakkul? Maybe that you know this concept. You read about it, you hear about it in the lectures, you don't know how to do it. How do you have tawakkul? I want us to just go over three practical ways of increasing tawakkul. Number one, learn about the names and attributes of Allah. Learn about the names and attributes of Allah. The better you understand Allah, the more tawakkul you have in Allah. When you understand that Allah is all-knowing, it increases your tawakkul. When you understand that Allah is most just, it increases your tawakkul. When you understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who controls everything, He's already written it down in Lawh al-Mahfuz, it increases your tawakkul. When you understand nothing happens except what Allah wills, it increases your tawakkul. Every one of us should take time to study the names and attributes of Allah, to internalize these concepts and to use them to increase our tawakkul. So step number one, learn the names and attributes of Allah. The more you understand the names and attributes of Allah, the more concrete the tawakkul in your heart will be. Number two, learn the adhkar. Learn the words to say for having tawakkul. Right? I mentioned the one in Surah Tawbah. Hasbi Allahu la ilaha illahu alayhi tawakkaltu wa huwa rabbul arshil azim. Right? Learn this dua. The other one, the more famous one, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Learn these adhkar. When you feel anxiety, say Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. When something goes wrong, say Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. When things aren't going your way, when things aren't going right, in the broader political scene, say Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. These adhkar, these dhikrs, these remembrance of Allah, they are directly linked to tawakkul. And the impact of these statements, when you reflect on them and recite them often, is that they will increase your connection with Allah, they will reduce your anxiety, and they will help you to realize this is all part of the broader plan of Allah and to accept the plan of Allah. Right? This is the second step to increasing our tawakkul. So step number one is that you understand who Allah is. You learn His names and attributes. Step number two is increasing your adhkar, increasing the zikrs, learning the zikrs specifically linked to tawakkul. And step number three is to take action. Take action. If you are working towards a goal, take action. To take action by knowing full well that you are only accountable for your actions, not for the results. And this is something that we all need to realize. In Islam, what Allah asks of us, whether it's in terms of doing da'wah, whether it's in terms of organizing Islamic events, whether it's in terms of politics, all Allah asks of us is to try our best. The results are in Allah's hands. The results are in Allah's hands. You just have to try your best. And Allah will reward your actions. So part of tawakkul is that we take action. That we do what is necessary from our side and we leave the results to Allah. A misunderstanding of tawakkul is that you sit at home and you expect money to fall from the sky. Right? That is a misunderstanding. Rather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and we will end with this hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you truly understood Allah, if you truly understood this concept, then you would be like the birds. They leave home in the morning and they come back with their food in the evening. Meaning, if you truly understood tawakkul, you will live your life like the birds. What do the birds do? They go out looking for food and they come back with food. Right? This is tawakkul, that you do what's necessary to earn your risk, but you trust Allah is the one who provides, not the means. Right? And this hadith shows both sides. On one hand, internally, the birds trust Allah, but externally, they are taking their actions. They're leaving the nest. They're not staying at home expecting things to happen. Right? So, three parts of tawakkul to help us increase. Number one, study the names and attributes of Allah. Number two, learn the azkar, say these statements often. Number three, make sure that you are doing what you can. Make sure you are taking action. Don't just sit back and say, oh, we put our trust in Allah, nothing we can do about it. No, there are things you can do about it. Right? Especially now with the broader political issue, there are things we can do about it. Boycotts, protests, spreading the truth, countering propaganda. There are things we can do about it. Do what is within your capabilities, but for the ultimate result, the end result, put your tawakkul in Allah. Allah knows best. Allah knows best in the long run what is best for this ummah. And sometimes that is victory, sometimes it is not victory. But we still have to do what is within our means for the sake of Allah. And that is part of tawakkul. That is part of having tawakkul. We ask Allah to grant victory to the people of Palestine. We ask Allah to end their trials and to remove all tyrants from the Middle East and to replace them with righteous rulership. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow this ummah to rise up once again and to become a ummah of glory and power and a model for the rest of the world of truth. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.